as you are standing, please take your Bibles and take them and turn them to Psalm 23. Amen. Psalm 23, a very familiar passage to many of us. And as you know, we're studying through Psalms, and we've called this year Psalms for the Soul. And this year so far, we've covered Psalm 121, as you heard in our scripture reading this morning. We've covered Psalm 1, the blessed man, Psalm 117, and giving praise to God. And now we come up to Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm to many, if not to all of us. And I'm going to try to get started on an introduction to that today. I cannot even come close to doing justice to this passage. It is so beloved and so well known, but I'm going to attempt to expound a few things to us this morning. Psalm 23. Anyone not familiar with this, you are missing a blessing. And I hope today and over the next several weeks as we look at Psalm 23, you might become more accustomed to this and just more familiar with Psalm 23 because it is a blessing of a psalm. Let's read together verses 1 through 6. Everybody that is at Psalm 23, say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a few more moments finding it? Amen. Let's start reading in verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved psalms that there are. But Psalms 22, 23, and 24 sometimes are known as the Shepherd Psalms. And all three of these, 22, 23, and 24, go together. They speak of Jesus and his shepherding ministry towards us and different aspects. And so all three of those go together. In Psalm 22, Jesus suffers and dies for the sheep as the good shepherd to save us from the penalty of sin. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look at verse 1 of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And so Psalm 22 depicts the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross as the good shepherd for the penalty of sin. We come to Psalm 23, and Jesus lives and cares for the sheep as the great shepherd to save us from the power of sin. Notice verse number 1 again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we come over to Psalm 24, and Psalm 24, Jesus returns in glory for his sheep as the guiding or as the chief shepherd to save us from the very presence of sin. Verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, and depicts Christ as he comes back to receive his own and sets up his kingdom on earth. And one day he's going to do that. And so these three Psalms, 22, 23, 24, all go together in different aspects. First, the suffering of Jesus Christ, then the living of Jesus, then the returning of Jesus. Psalm 23 is what we're going to focus on today, and it's probably the most well-known of the three and probably most well-known of all the Psalms collectively. It often is read at funerals by saved and unsaved alike, by Christian and non-Christian people, by churched and non-church people. It provides comfort and calm to the bereaved and those of a heavy heart. It also provides solace and confidence in a God who knows what you're going through as a shepherd to his sheep. David claims the Lord as his shepherd here, which implies that he, David, is his sheep. And as a result of that, sheep by nature are dependent, defenseless, directionless, dumb, not daring, not brave, nor courageous. And as such, they need constant care, cleaning, and constant maintenance. I think that depicts us. Amen. David had no shame in claiming Christ as his shepherd in his life. And as such, shepherds or sheep are not grand, nor are they glorious like a lion. They're trite. Tranquil. And as a result, over and again in Scripture, you'll find us being classified as sheep. And we're going to look at some things this morning in regards to verse number one. We're probably not going to even get done with verse number one, but we're going to attempt to at least tackle this Scripture a little bit. And throughout this message this morning and the next several weeks, I want you to think about what the shepherd means to you. What does the shepherd mean to you as a sheep? What does he provide to you as a sheep? And you'll come short of everything. Everything. Because the shepherd is everything to the sheep. There is no other. He provides everything. And I pray that Jesus Christ today will be everything that you need him to be, because he is. Father, bless now in the message today. Lord, as we look at David pouring out his heart about you as his shepherd, his savior, his master, his sovereign, God, I pray that we might identify with David, identify with the sovereignty of Christ over our lives, recognize that Jesus Christ, because he is our shepherd, because he is our Savior, we don't have need of want. We don't have to have need of anything. Lord, I pray that today the Holy Spirit might take these words of Scripture and may press them upon our heart, the great ministry that our chief shepherd has, our great shepherd has, and the good shepherd has in our lives. Lord, I pray if there's one today that is going about life and not being shepherded by the Savior, they would surrender their life to you, that you might shepherd them, you might guide them, you might lead them like you did to David. Lord, help us to identify with David. Lord, help us to agree with him that the Lord truly is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, if there's one today wanting and lacking in some area of their life, manifest it to them that they may get comfort from the Scripture. They may get confidence from the Word of God. Lord, there may be some in here today that don't have you as their shepherd. They're not born again. They're not saved. They're we're to die today. They don't have 100% assurance of salvation. God, press it upon their hearts, the need to repent of sin, turn from sin, and turn to the Savior to be gloriously born again today. And for us that are your sheep, that know you as shepherd, God, help us to find the confidence and the comfort in knowing that you provide all that we need. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us. Lord, bless now the children's activities next door, the nursery activity across the hallway. And Lord, help our minds be attentive to the things of God this morning and to the Word of God. And Holy Spirit, may you take charge, take liberty. Help me to say that which needs to be said, that your people may be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special this morning.
God is gonna find a way.
You appreciate that message and song, amen. The Lord will always find a way, amen. And I am so glad that he does and he will, amen. He'll find a way when there seems to be no way, amen. Well, you know, we are here today looking at Psalm 23. And again, let me tell you that I know I will not do any justice to what it is meant to be, but I'm trusting God that he'll give us a blessing. Nonetheless, from this passage of Scripture, the Psalms are great for the soul and for those that have seen it and read it. The psalmist always bare their soul. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sometimes they're complaining about why sinful people succeed. Other times they're wondering, you know, how's life when I get old and I'm forgotten about? And just so many different aspects of it. Sometimes they're just praising God for who he is because God is good. Sometimes they're praising God because God got them out of a tight spot. But the Psalms depict so many different walks of life and so many areas of life that you're bound to find yourself in there some way, somewhere. Amen. Sometime you're bound to find yourself in those Psalms. And I thoroughly enjoy the Psalms. And Psalm 23 is one of those that's been very dear to my heart over the years and very, very special to me. But before we get into that, I read years ago a book entitled A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Anybody familiar with that book? Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Very, very great book. And from an aspect of a guy that had sheep. And so he's speaking from firsthand knowledge when he talks about sheep and the experience with the sheep. And man, what a blessing that was when I read that years ago. And if you've not been a sheep herder or a shepherd, it's kind of hard to really understand what David is saying. David was a shepherd. He tended sheep. And so David really understood what it was like to have sheep and to be a shepherd. And when you look at this, he's speaking from the standpoint now of being a sheep and not being the shepherd. And that's unique. Amen. By the way, within the sheepfold of humanity, let me say this, which is all of mankind, there are only two kinds of sheep. And here in this room, there are really only two kinds of sheep when you're dealing with mankind. There are saved sheep. And they're lost sheep. When you talk about all of humanity, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being sheep, but I'm talking about all of humanity. There are saved people and there are lost people. But then when you bring it down into the capacity of sheep that God has, there are the sheep that stay close to the Savior. And then there are sheep that are going astray or away from the Savior. And so when you look at this, David is one that has kept close to the shepherd. He is close to his protection, and he is a saved sheep, if you would. Amen. David is going to look at his shepherd and detail what his shepherd does for him, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, some things that David is speaking about his Lord as his shepherd. Amen. Now, let me encourage you. If you don't have the Lord as your shepherd, you need him.
Yes, sir, you do.
You need him. You say, I don't need him. Yes, you do. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our iniquities. All the things that he did was for our transgressions. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. But by his stripes, we're healed. Why? Like sheep, we were gone astray. And God has come to rescue us, if you would, from this tyrant called sin and Satan and the world. And he wants to be your shepherd today. And may I say, friend, you need a shepherd today. You can't make it through this life on your own. The sheep looked at the shepherd, and the shepherd's job was to provide everything he need. He looked to the shepherd for everything. There was nothing that he did not get that the shepherd didn't give him. What he got from other places was not good for him.
That's right.
Amen. You read that book, Shepherd's Look at 23rd Psalm, and I was reading in one of the chapters, and he said he had this one sheep that kept getting astray and going astray, and the sheep just wouldn't do right. And he said it was one of the most beautiful sheep he had. One of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Just beautiful in every aspect. It was a good producer, very intelligent sheep. But he said that sheep was not content and wanted to always get out of the fence and always go around. And he said this. He said it was bad enough that she wanted to go out. But then he said this. She let other sheep out. And he said when that happened, he had to make a hard decision. Even though she was his choice sheep, he had to go ahead and slaughter her because she led the other sheep astray. Oh, friend, you don't want to be that type of sheep. You don't want to be that kind. You want to be the kind like David is, the one that stays close to the Savior, the one that stays close to the shepherd, the one that does what God would have him to do. So let's see some things here in this particular passage of Scripture. Like I say, we're not going to be able to get a whole lot done today, but I do want us to look at a few points here this morning. Notice in Psalm 23, it's actually divided into three sections here that we're going to look at. First of all, we're going to look at the Lord. Then we're going to look at is my shepherd. Then we're going to look at I shall not want. The Lord, and then is my shepherd, and then I shall not want. And I don't know how far we'll get, but amen, you listen up, I'll speak up, and hopefully we'll get done at a reasonable amount of time with this. First of all, I want us to notice the position of his shepherd. The position of his shepherd, or what position is David's shepherd in? And you'll find that in the first two words. Who is he? The position of David's shepherd happens to be the Lord. Now, if you've got a King James Bible, it should be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, not a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. The King James has preserved that so that we know that they're talking about Jehovah God. Amen. Most sheep had shepherds that were human. David said, as the Lord's sheep, I have the Lord as my shepherd, and he is divine. Amen. And I tell you, if you want to have a shepherd, you want a divine shepherd. You don't want a human shepherd because human shepherds get tired. They get fatigued. By the way, you say, well, Pastor, you're a shepherd. No, I'm called an under shepherd. What does that mean? That means I'm under the shepherd. Amen. The shepherd is the chief shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. And he has delegated this local congregation to me as an under shepherd. And my job is to take care of the flock that he's entrusted to my care. By the way, every local church has an under shepherd. They're not the chief shepherd, nor are they the good shepherd, nor are they the great shepherd. Amen. We're just under shepherds. Amen. Doing the job that God would have. By the way, and the prophets warned some of them. He said, look, you're not a shepherd at all. You're not an under shepherd at all. You're hireling. Hirelings don't care for the flock. They just in it for the money. By the way, there are a lot of hirelings out there fleecing the flock for what they can get. They don't care about the flock at all. Amen. So the position of his shepherd, who he is, the position of David's shepherd happens to be the Lord. David says, I'm glad that the Lord is my shepherd because he's divine. The word Lord in the Old Testament is Jehovah, which means he is self-existent or the eternal one or the one who is. Serge talked about it in Sunday school over there in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, you know what? Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he was saying, I am Jehovah. I am the self-existent one. I am he who is. I am he who was. I am he who is to be. I am the eternal one. David is saying, that's who my Lord is. Now, if you can say that's who your Lord is today, amen. That's great. That's great. Because you want someone to be Lord. You don't want to be Lord of your God. You want your God to be Lord. Amen. By the way, there are a lot of people that they are the Lord and their God is not. That's because they don't serve Jehovah God. Amen.
And so the name Jehovah or Lord carries the idea that he's the one who is and was and is to be. He's the eternal one. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He's omniscient, as Serge talked to you about this morning. Amen. And so what David is saying here, my Lord that I'm claiming, his position is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all knowing, all powerful, all over and everywhere at the same time. That's who my God is. He's Jehovah, my Lord. By the way, that's who my Lord is too. Amen. Amen. So David begins to go into the position here. Lord comes with the idea of the one who is and is becoming to his own all they need. And so, in other words, David was saying here, you know what? God is not just my Lord. He is not just my self-existent one, but he is everything that I need. And he is becoming to me everything that I need when I need it. By the way, you get into a tight jam, guess what? He is the one that can secure you to safety. When you get into stress, he's the one that can calm your fears. When you get sick, he's the one that can heal you. When you're sorrowful, he's the one that can cheer you. He is Jehovah God. He is becoming to you and I all that we need him to be if he is Lord. And David is saying, the Lord is my Lord or my shepherd. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. Jehovah carries with us some power. As a husband, I'm striving to become all that my wife needs me to be as husband. And I think every husband would say with me, I'm striving to be all that I need to be. Now, she needs different things at different times. And so I'm striving to be what she needs at the specific time. As a father, I'm trying to be all that I need to be for my children and trying to become all that I need to be to fulfill that capacity. David is saying that because my Lord is the Lord and he's my shepherd, he's becoming to me everything that I need him to be. Guess what? When David was in a hard fix, who'd he go to? The Lord. You know why? Because he was becoming to him everything that he needed him to be. David states his Lord is all that he needs him to be. I have three names, Gregory, Alan, and Dawson. Gregory is my first name. Alan is my second name, which happens to be my father's name. Amen. Dawson happens to be my family name, or the name that carries down from boy to boy in my family. And so I've got three names, and each one stands for something a little bit different. God has many, many different names. Amen. When God became something great to his people or for his people or did something great for them, they would often give him names demonstrating what he had become to them. And they would use Lord or Jehovah. Then they would tell you what he did. Amen. Y'all looking at me like, really? 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 Right here, for instance, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. If you were to do like Brother Sarah said and look it up in the concordance, you'd find Jehovah Roi. That means the Lord is my shepherd. That's all it means. The Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord my shepherd. Show you a couple other names of God. Go over to Genesis 22:14 very quickly with me. If you can't get there, just write down the reference. Genesis 22:14. When Abraham was given the directive to go and sacrifice Isaac, he found a ram in the thickets and he sacrificed the ram instead of Isaac. And when he did that, he said, you know what? God became something else to me. And notice what it says down there in Genesis 22 and verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord my provider, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. In other words, he was saying, you know what? Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord is going to see to it, or the Lord's going to provide. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. Amen. He said, Lord's going to see to it. Amen. Hey, you come to a position in your life where you don't know how things are going to work out. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You don't know how you're going to pay that bill. You don't know how your health is going to turn out. You don't know how things are going to go. The Lord will provide. The Lord is going to see and I'll provide. He says, I'll see it and I'll provide for it. By the way, he didn't say he provides you wants. He said, I get your needs. Amen. Get your needs. And so we find Jehovah Jireh here. The Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. Exodus 15 and verse 26, we see another designation of God and who he was and what he needed to be for his people. They had come out of the Egypt, and they sang a song because the troops were dismantled and taken apart. Amen. And you come to chapter 15 and verse 26. He says, and Speaking of, if they did right, God was not going to put any of the judgments upon them. He says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord. I am Jehovah that healeth thee. I am Jehovah, they would say in this instance, a Jehovah who heals thee. I am the Lord that heals thee. And so when you look at this aspect of this, another designation of God we find here in this passage of Scripture. And by the way, do you get sick? Guess what? You know who heals you? Jehovah who heals you. Amen. And so each designation, each time the Lord did something to them, they had a different name for God, and they would use that name. Come over to Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, God had gone out to fight against Amalek with them in verse number 15, and Moses built an altar called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or in other words, the Lord, my banner, the Lord who's going to fight for me. By the way, Jehovah Rapha was that last one, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nissi is here, the Lord, my banner. And so God went out and fought. By the way, God fights your enemies. Guess who he is being at that time? Jehovah Nissi. The Lord, my banner, the one who goes before the armies, because they would always go before the armies with a banner saying who they stood for and who they were. Their banner was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know what? When I've got a banner, when I've got an enemy, when I've got someone, it is Jehovah Nissi going before with the banner. He's going to fight my enemies. He's going to smite the crowd. He's going to put them down. That's why when they went to battle, they always wanted to make sure they had God's presence with them. Why? It was God, Jehovah God, who was going to fight the battle. Hey, you got a battle that you're going through right now? You better call on Jehovah Nissi. He'll fight the battle. Someone messing with you at your job? Jehovah Nissi. Got somebody else going over here? Jehovah Nissi. Got somebody over here? Jehovah Nissi. You better call him. Amen. Hey, you're sick? Better call on Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, because he can do it. Amen. Hey, you got a need? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hey, we support the missions agency called Jehovah Jireh. That agency's whole goal is to provide funds for churches to get planted. Come down to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, you'll find another designation. Leviticus chapter number 20. And Leviticus chapter number 20, God's talking about being clean and being holy. And in Leviticus 20, in verse number 8, matter of fact, in verse 7, he says this, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, O Jehovah, which sanctify you. Again, he's a sanctifying God. And so he's the Lord who sanctifies. Judges chapter 6, we find another one. Judges chapter number 6. And each time God was something or became something or did something, they would give him another designation. Jehovah this or Jehovah that. Judges chapter 6, this is Gideon. Gideon sees God and he's not perished, he's not dead, he's not destroyed. And he says, it's impossible to see God face to face and still live. Judges 6 and verse 24 says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, or the Lord is peace, or the Lord is our peace, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Shalom. So again, we see the Lord is our peace, or is peace. Come over to Jeremiah 23. We see another designation, Jeremiah 23. Again, if you can't get there fast enough, just write these down. They're not going anywhere. Jeremiah 23, and in verse number 6, Jeremiah is teaching and preaching once again. And Jeremiah 23, he says something here in verse number 6. He says down there, in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. Notice this in your Bible. This should be all capital letters. The Lord, our righteousness. In other words, he's saying the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu is another designation of God. By the way, if you're going to have righteousness, it's going to be the Lord. We don't have any righteousness on our own. Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But guess what? If I've got the Lord, I've got righteousness. Amen. If I've got the blood of Jesus Christ on my life, I've got righteousness. Who is this Lord? This is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. It's Jehovah of the Old Testament. It is the same person. That's why, as Sir said, they wanted to stone him. They said, look, you're trying to equate yourself with God. We know your parents. We know your Mary. We know Joseph. We know your brothers and sisters. How dare you say you're God? He said, I'm God. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. I am. And they knew exactly that he was saying, I'm God. They didn't like that. But guess what? Like it or lump it, it's still true. And there's another one I want to give you here, Ezekiel chapter 48. We see Jehovah Sitkenu there, the Lord our righteousness, Ezekiel 48. And verse number 35, Ezekiel 48, a couple books over. And Ezekiel 48, he was something else to them. He became something else to them. And Ezekiel 48 and verse number 35, this is the actual end of the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel speaking of the temple that would be built and how Jesus was going to indwell. He says, and it was round about 18,000 measures. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there, or Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, or the Lord will be there. The Lord is there. His presence is continuing to be there. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I don't have to wait until that time. The Lord is here with me right now. I'm glad that as a sheep, as God being my shepherd, and as Christ being my Savior, He is here with me right now. But one day, His presence is going to be in the house of God continually, whether the believers are there or not. His presence is going to be there. He said, it's going to be called the Lord is there. That's good. That's good. So we see Jehovah. He say the position of David's Lord or the position of his shepherd is a high position. It's a lofty position. It's a divine position. It's a lifted up position. And David opens the song with the position of his shepherd. He says, who is he or who he is? He happens to be the Lord. And by the way, if the Lord is your shepherd, he should be high. He should be lifted up. You don't bring him down to your level, you get up to his. But I'm so glad that he condescends to us of low degree. I'm so glad that he comes to minister to sinful people like me. I'm so glad that as a shepherd, he comes down. Hey, you get a sheep that's stuck in the fence. The shepherd comes to the sheep. Hey, you get a sheep over here that's sick. The shepherd comes to the sheep. Hey, you get one over here that doesn't know how to find the water. The shepherd comes to the sheep. You get one over here that needs to be bandaged up. Hey, he comes over to them. I'm so glad that I've got a God as my shepherd who comes to me. He condescends to men of low degree to help us. Why? He knows we can't help ourselves. Preacher, I can help myself. No, you can't. Wake up on your own without your heartbeat. Get some breath without breathing. Go to outer space without a helmet. See, you need God. You need him more than you think you need him. Folks think, well, I don't need God. Yes, you do. By the way, for another reason, you need him to get to heaven. Amen. My Bible said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ain't going to get there any other way. Man, what you going to get, a ladder? You going to get a telescope? Well, I can get the Hubble telescope and see heaven. No, you can't. You need Jesus to see that. Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Hey, say, preacher, I don't have to be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Jesus had to repeat it because Nicodemus didn't get it the first time. Hey, not only do we see the position of David's shepherd, or position of his shepherd, the Lord, but notice the possession of his shepherd. The possession of his shepherd. Go back to Psalm 23 with me. The possession of his shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. David goes into, first of all, what he is. He's my shepherd. The possession that David states, he says, he's mine. He's personal. By the way, the definition of shepherd is this. It means to tend a flock or to pastor or to provide all the needs for. The sheep look to the shepherd for everything. So when David said, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd in all of the aspects of his eternality, he is becoming to me everything that I need him to be. He is to me whatever I need. He is also my shepherd. He's going to not only be what I need, he's going to provide it for me just like a shepherd would. He's going to lead me to it. He's going to guide me to it. He's going to bring it to me. He's going to make sure that whatever it is that I need. Think about it. There is nothing that the shepherd does not do for the sheep. If you would, in crude terms, to the sheep, the shepherd is their God. He feeds them. He waters them. He protects them. He guides them. He nurses them. When they have little lambs, he gets the lambs. He nurses them. He protects them from the cold. He is everything. That's why they look to him with a term of endearment. Remember the story of David? David said, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. For what? For my sheep. I made sure that they came. Now, a hireling would run. But David said, no, these are my sheep. I'm in charge of these. These are for me. Hey, don't you know that God protects you from danger? You know, God protects you from the enemy. You know, God protects you from harm. God protects you from danger. God, Jehovah God, is David's shepherd. And as a result, he said, you know what? There's something about this shepherd of mine. In other words, the Lord would be his feeder, his protector, his guide, his doctor, his lawyer, his water source, his fighter, his healer, his cleaner, etc. His Lord would be all that as a shepherd is to his sheep. And David's Lord is personal. He says, he's my shepherd. David said, in other words, I'm his and he's mine. By the way, there's a difference. Not enough to say he's a shepherd. There's many shepherds out there. It's not enough to say he's the shepherd. There's a lot of shepherds out there. David didn't say, there's a shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd. I got to say, the Lord is my shepherd. A lot of shepherds out there. David said, the Lord, Jehovah God, is my shepherd. He's self-existent. He is the one who is and is to be and is to be again. That's mine. To do so, you must have a personal relationship with the Lord like David did. David knew his sheep personally from daily interaction. You think about it, the shepherd's job every day was to go out and to make sure the sheep were okay. The shepherd's job was to go out to count the sheep. What did Jesus say? Hey, will he not go for the one out of 99? Even though 99 are there, I'll go and leave one. Leave to go for the one. The shepherd's job was to go out and make the count, make sure they were all there. His job was to look at each one and find out if there's anything wrong with them. Look at them. Make sure there's any markings on them that were wrong. Anything. By the way, the shepherd knew when sheep didn't belong to him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Why? He marked each one of them. Each sheep had the marking of the shepherd. They take them in and they mark them on the ear so you could look at a distance. You could see it. Which one am I?
Right.
Much like cattlemen brand their cattle. They put a little brand on them. Know which one is his. The shepherd's job was to go out every day, check out the sheep, make sure they're okay, make sure everything's fine with them. If they were not, his job was then to make sure everything was good. So David said, he's not just a shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. He's my shepherd. I know him personally from daily interaction. The Lord is my shepherd. I know him from personally and daily interacting with him. My wife would kill me if I said, you know, Carmen is a lady. She is the lady. No. She is my lady. But you know what? She wouldn't even want to go there. What if I say, well, she's a wife. Well, she's the wife. No, she's my wife. She belongs to me and I belong to her. Hey, David is saying, hey, look, I'm personal with this relationship. Hey, the Lord Jehovah, who does everything, who's self-existent, who provides my need, who's omniscient, omnipresent. He knows all. He does all. Hey, that's my Lord. He belongs to me.
Amen.
Now, you can claim it if you want to. By the way, there's enough of them to go around. I'm so glad that my God can tend to your needs and tend to my needs at the same time. I can be on the other side of the planet and still have him attend to my needs and yours at the same time. Stephanie's in Hungary right now. And guess what? God is still answering her prayers in Hungary. Guess what? He can hear you and hear her at the same time. Why? He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's got all power. I wouldn't want to serve a God that can only answer my prayers at once and couldn't answer yours at the same time. I have a hard enough time. My kids come to me, all three of them talking to me at one time. Daddy, ho, stop. There's only two ears on my head. I can't hear all y'all at the same time. Then they'll stop. Then they'll all start up again. I still can't hear all y'all at the same time. One at a time. Say, well, you got two ears, amen, but they work in unison. Amen. There's a concert here. Hey, the "my" of David makes it personal. My shepherd, hey, my wife, my children, my church, my home, amen. Hey, by the way, it's got to be yours. I like the song that the twins sang a while ago. He loved me like I was his only child.
Amen.
Seems like God loved me more than the rest.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
He seems to love me more. But everybody feels the same way.
Amen.
He loved me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. Who could ever ask for more?
Amen.
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 He never favors one above the other. But guess what? You always feel like you're his favorite. When I get along with God, I feel like I'm his favorite. I feel like I'm so selfish. I got him all to myself. And I can pray to him. I can pour my heart out to him like I can pour my heart to nobody else. And he understands. And he doesn't judge. And he doesn't condemn. He says, you know what? You my sheep. And I'm your shepherd. I'm going to take care of your needs. I'm Jehovah. Now, he'll get on me if I need getting on to. But he loves me. I remember when I used to go fishing with my dad, Pastor White, and I would encourage him to leave the girls at home. Say, Pastor, why would you encourage him to leave the girls at home? I want them all to myself.
Amen.
And I'd say, Dad, why don't you go ahead and leave the girls home? They don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get ready and go fishing. They don't like worms. They don't like fishing. They don't like the smell. But guess what? They want to be with Daddy, too.
Amen.
And so I tried to tell them how gruesome and gross fishing was. Slimy fish. Wiggly worms. Mosquitoes, horse flies that bite. And if you're not careful, I might hook you with the hook. I gave them all the horror stories. By the time I got done, they said, we don't think we want to go tomorrow, Dad. I said, on top of that, we got to go outside and catch the night crawlers the night before. You got to pull them out of the hole. Get your flashlight, get your boots on. Let's go out in the rain. Come on. Well, I said, because you ain't using my worms. And I would make them just loathe fishing. I say, preacher, why'd you do that? So I could have my daddy all to myself.
Amen.
And we'd jump in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Me and daddy. I'd just talk to him all the way up there. Hey, daddy, what's going on? Da, 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 da. And he'd go to the store, get me 7-Up. My own bag of chips. I didn't have to share with nobody. And then he'd get my own 7-Up. And I'm like, I don't have to share with anybody. I'm glad I talked them into not being here today.
Amen.
And then Dad and I would get out. We'd get in the boat. And he would sit in one spot. I'd sat in another spot. And then sometimes he'd let me drive the boat.
Oh,
man, I'm living large now.
Oh, boy.
I'm driving the boat. Now, I steered it into the bank, but that's okay. Once I got the hang of it, I could do it. And I could just sit there all day, just me and my dad.
Yes.
And you know something? I never wanted to go home.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
I never wanted to go home because I had my dad all to myself.
Yes.
And I felt like I was his only child, me and him. And he said, Dad, boy, it's time to go home. I said, Daddy, I would cry sometimes. I said, Daddy, I want to go home. Because I knew when I got home, I had to share.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to share my daddy. Say, preacher, that's selfish. And I said, Daddy would love this. A boy that loved his daddy. And I wanted to be around him all day long.
Amen, Pastor.
And when it was time to go home, man, it broke my heart. Because I know I had to share him again. You know, with God, you don't have to share.
That's right, Pastor.
He loves you like you were his only child.
Amen.
When I was out there with my dad, I felt like it was just me and him. There was nobody else. And we'd just be out there all day long. And man, talk about some stories we tell when we come home. I had more than he had because mine's always got away. But you know what? It was just being out there. David says here, you know what? This is personal. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. He belongs to me and I belong to him. And those times of fishing, I had my dad all to myself because he was my dad. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Not will be my shepherd. And I used to be my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He belongs to me. I belong to him. We see what he is to David. He is his shepherd. But then by implication, David reveals who he is. David is his sheep. You look up sheep in the dictionary and it says this, amongst other things. A timid, defenseless creature. One easily influenced or led. I found the synonyms of sheep to be very striking. For the synonyms, it gave an angel. It gave a dove. Get this, it gave innocent. It gave lamb. So the synonyms to being a sheep is an angel, a dove, innocent, lamb. Can't you see why God loves you so much and cares for you? Because he knows. And often you don't know what you're doing. Oftentimes you don't know where you're going. I got to admit to my God, sometimes, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what I need. I've got to cry out to God and say, God, I don't know what I need. I'm just a dumb lamb. I'm just a dumb sheep. Lord, I've gotten myself into trouble again. God, I don't know how I got here. I don't know where I'm going. But God, you're my shepherd. Oh, Jehovah, save me out of this mess. Because sometimes we just don't know. That struck me when it said innocence, lamb, dove, angel. It gave an antonym as well, which didn't surprise me, wolf. We always talk about wolf in sheep's clothing. And there's many out there. David says, you know what? What he is my shepherd. What I am, I'm his sheep. Over and again, God's people are called sheep. I'll give you some references here so you can write these down. Psalm 79:13, the Bible says, so we thy people, and notice this, sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. Psalm 95 and verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, notice this, and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100 and verse number 3, we are his people, notice this, and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 119 and 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Jeremiah 50 and verse 60, my people have been lost sheep. Jeremiah 50 and verse 17, Israel is a scattered sheep. Over and over again, who are we compared to in the Bible as God's people? Sheep.
Yes.
Sheep. Amen. David said, who is he? He is the Lord. But you know what? It's more than that. I possess him as my Lord. I know his position is Lord, but I possess him as Lord, but also possess him as shepherd. And as a shepherd, who am I? I'm a sheep. And as a sheep, I need care. I need guidance. I need comfort. I need feeding. I need protection. His position is high. And I possess him as he possesses me. He is mine. Let me ask you a question today as we close. Do you possess him today as your shepherd? Do you possess him today as your shepherd? Do you have the same feeling like I used to have with my daddy? And you just want to be around him all the time. Just want to be in his presence all the time. Do you want to be selfish and say, I want God all to myself? Because he doesn't mind. He prefers you to be that way. But you know what? Other people need him too. But you know what? When you're alone with God, it's just like it was he and you. Nobody else. Do you possess him today as your Lord? And I guess a better question would be this. Does he possess you? There are a lot of people that will read Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And they don't have a clue what that's all about. He is the Lord. His position is high. And he is many people's shepherds. But the question is he your shepherd? Have you claimed him as yours? Have you said, Jehovah, he's my shepherd? I'm so glad February 3rd, 1991, I made him my Lord and my shepherd. And I gave my life over to him and said, Lord, I want you to take control of my life. I don't have much to offer, Lord, but what I have, you have. What I am, you have. And Lord, make me what you want me to be. You know, God called me to preach. I had no clue he'd do that. But you know, I claimed him as my shepherd. And I said, Lord, you provide everything that I need. You be my Jehovah Rapha. You be my Jehovah Sitkanu. You be my Jehovah Shammah. You be my Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you be my Jehovah Roi, my shepherd. Lord, you be whatever I need you to be. Because Lord, I can only look to you as your sheep. And you're my shepherd. You know, one of the first things that you need today to look to him is to be your Savior. All the sheep in the care of the shepherd were at one time purchased at some time in his life. And the ones that weren't purchased were born into the fold.
Amen.
Have you been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ today? Is he yours? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Because he shed his blood for you. We said again, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, friend, you can read this, and it sounds pleasant, and it sounds beautiful, and it is. But it's much more pleasant and much more beautiful to own him as your shepherd. Because then and only then can you truly experience what this passage is talking about. And if you've not made him your Lord, like David did, when he said, Jehovah is my shepherd, he's my protector, he is the one that's going to give me everything I need. Friend, if you've not done that, you need to. Can't you see how much God loves you? Can't you see how much the shepherd, the great shepherd, has given for you? The good shepherd gave his life for you. He gave his life. And he's asking you, would you let me be your shepherd today? Will you let me save you today? There's sin out there. There's a world out there that doesn't like you. But I love you. I love you so much that I stretched my arms out and I died on the cross. I was buried. And one day I'm coming back as the chief shepherd.
Amen.
I'm going to receive my own. If you've not embraced him as your Lord and your Savior, repented of your sin, turned from sin and turned to the Savior, then you can't call him your Lord. And he's not your shepherd, although he wants to be. He desires to be. He's already done the hard part. That's left up to you. What will you do today? What's your decision? Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you possess him? And more importantly, does he possess you? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. You might say here today, well, Pastor, I think I'm one of the Lord's. Pastor, I think I possess him, but I'm not sure. Wouldn't you like to make sure? You might say, preacher, you know what? I possess him, but Lord, oh, I go astray. Oh, we all do. But aren't you glad the good shepherd and the great shepherd goes to seek his own? And he comes looking for you and he comes calling for you. If he's knocking at your door this morning, why don't you answer the door? He's coming looking for you. If you're here today without Jesus Christ and you can't say that he is your Savior, your shepherd, I want you to do something. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking around. I want to pray for you today that you would make that decision, but I can't force you to make it. But I can pray for you. If you're here today, Jesus Christ, you're not sure if he's your Savior. You think so, or you hope so, or you want him to be. Why don't you do something? Why don't you lift your hand up so I can pray for you? I won't come and call you out. I won't pick you out. I'll just acknowledge your hand. You can put it right back down. Right where you're sitting, man, woman, boy, or girl, you raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I want the Lord to be my Savior, but I'm not sure that he is, and I'm concerned. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody at all across this room, just raise your hand. Raise it high so I can see it, and you can put it right back down. I don't know if the Lord is my shepherd or not, and I want him to be. Amen. You know, the beauty of that, God knows your heart. And you bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ if you belong to him. Christian, how about it? There's two types that are the Lord's sheep, those that stay close to this shepherd, and those who stray away from his protection. Have you strayed away, Christian? Maybe you need to come back and say, God, you know, you're my shepherd, and I've not treated you as such. I try to do my own thing. I try to run my own life. I try to be shepherd and sheep at the same time, God. I've tried to make my own calls and do my own thing. I try to be shepherd and sheep, and it's just not working. Oh, God, shepherd my life. God, shepherd my life today. Lord, come and take control. I'm a sheep. I'm defenseless. I'm directionless. I need you, Lord. I'm so challenged in these areas. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar today and ask God to help you and what he needs you to do. Father, I pray that you would take control of this invitation time. Lord, with a mix of people like this, I'm sure there is someone that has not made the Lord their Savior today. They've not made you shepherd. Lord, in a crowd like this, I'm sure there are those that have strayed away. They've not stayed close to you, and they're out of the protection that you provide. They've gotten out of the pen somehow, and they're trying to be shepherd and sheep and run their own life. And Lord, I pray you would bring them to an old-fashioned altar, help them to get things right. And then, Lord, maybe there are those that have loved ones that need a shepherd. Maybe they have loved ones that have strayed away. Lord, maybe they would come down to an old-fashioned altar and beseech the heavens. The Lord, you would work and become Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Thank you for what David has revealed to us, Lord. Holy Spirit, impart to us that which we need to take home with us today and make us dwell upon that. We can truly come back and leave saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I know his position. He's Lord. He's Jehovah. But I know he's my shepherd. I possess him and he possesses me. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Hymn of Invitation is going to play. If God spoke in your heart, why don't you step out from where you're at and come down to an old-fashioned altar. Perhaps you need to be saved today. Would you come? Maybe you need to come down and just pray. Maybe pray for a loved one. Maybe pray for yourself. Maybe pray that the Lord, as your shepherd, would guide you, would direct you. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar, surrender for baptism. Say, Lord, preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not baptized. Maybe you need to come down and present yourself for baptism. Maybe you've been looking around for an independent fundamental Baptist church, and you say, this is a place I need to join up with. Would you come? Whatever it is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Jesus wants to be your loving shepherd today. He wants to be Jehovah Jireh. He wants to provide your need and see to it. He wants to be Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. He wants to be Jehovah Nissi, the God of your banner, fighting for you. He wants to be Jehovah Shalom, the peace that you need. He wants to be Jehovah, your righteousness. Jehovah Shammah. Lord is here. Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord our righteousness. What is it that God, you need him to be today? Would you come? Would you come?
You must do his sweet will to be free.
I can't do it for you. I'm just an under-shepherd. My job is to pray for you, to guide you, to instruct you, lead you to the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd.
Is your all on the altar of
the position of David's shepherd. He's Lord. He's Jehovah God, self-existent, eternal, the one who is. The possession of his shepherd. He says, he's my shepherd, which means I'm his sheep. He is mine and I am his. Is he yours today? One more stanza we'll sing and then we'll close.
Who can tell?
One more stanza. How about it today?
He will send from above.
I pray you yearn for that relationship. Just you and God alone. Just you two. Pour out your heart to him. Ask him to provide all the things that he's been to the children of Israel. All the things that he said he'd be. Your comforter, your counselor, your guide, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. Whatever it is you need him to be, he'll be.
Is your
all on the altar of sacrifice laid?
Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed.
Only be blessed.
And have peace and sweet rest. As you yield him your body and soul.
Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for providing everything that I have need of. Lord, I'm so excited that this psalm was penned down by David many years ago, that we can enjoy it here in 2015. Lord, I pray that we will all leave here reflecting on your position as Lord, as Jehovah, as the Old and New Testament God. We would all leave here reflecting on possession. If we possess you as Lord and you possess us as sheep. Lord, David was so animate about this, so clear about this. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Thank you, Lord, for this psalm. Bless now and today. Don't let anyone leave without getting things settled with you today. We pray that whatever it is that needs to happen, it will bless the activities that will transpire tonight at 5 o'clock. And we pray that you'll get all the praise, the honor, and the glory from those events later on this evening. Thank you for dismissing us with your blessings. Amen.